You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Please welcome Lily Peacock for the Green Desk.
Today on the Green Desk, I'm here with Sian Taylor, Director of the Team Green Architects in Queenstown. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
So you have Team Green Architects, and you guys are specialising, would you say specialising in passive house building?
It's been sort of the way that things started, and I guess really from the fact that we felt that it was something that was really needed down here, and this was the real solution, I guess, to creating an energy efficient and fundamentally actually creating warm, comfortable buildings in an environment that is basically cold.
Yeah, you've got the South Island down there, definitely not the warmest place in the world.
No, we haven't, and it's a real issue because the building code in New Zealand does not anywhere near account for the huge variety in climate across the country.
What do you mean by that?
The way that the New Zealand Building Code works is that they have large zones of the country basically are given the same treatment in terms of creating a warm internal environment, but it doesn't work. So they basically say that the whole of the South Island is one region, which, as we know, like, is completely different here in Queenstown to Nelson. The climate is completely different. But even if you were to go from Queenstown to, say, Arrowtown, the climate is actually completely different because we get so many different microclimates across New Zealand.
But they're all expected to be built to the same spec.
Exactly. So you build a house in Nelson and you build it to the same spec as you do in Queenstown, and that's completely different to the way that the majority of first world countries would treat their building code. They would respond to climate.
So why do we have that building code then if it doesn't really work?
That's a very good question. And one that I don't have the answer to, but it's completely out of date and irrelevant, and it's something that is not looking to change as far as I know. And we're so frustratingly bad that once I became Passive House certified, it seemed like this was the only logical solution, which is basically Passive House is a way of creating energy efficient buildings that are responding specifically to climate. So you literally have the climate data from your specific zone, and the whole thing is run through a package which is basically an extensive Excel spreadsheet, but it's so extensive that it will calculate if your building is achieving that right level of energy efficiency relative to the exact climate that you're going to experience. So that's the climate throughout the year, experiencing the wide range of temperatures.
So it's responding to the environment and to the needs of the people inside of it.
Exactly.
And it's green certified, and you're not wasting any energy. It'll be saving you energy at the same time.
Oh, that's the exact point. That's the exact way that I talk to clients about it. And it's the way that most people, I guess, will respond to it. Is that fundamentally you're going to save yourself a lot of money.
And not just the money, but you're saving energy.
Exactly.
It makes more sense. Why are we not building like this more often?
Exactly. It knocks off so many things. It's basically you're going to be more comfortable because buildings that we're living in are not healthy.
We've got a huge problem with that here in Auckland.
Oh, huge. And this is the thing, because people talk about, oh, maybe it's relevant in the South Island. Is it relevant in Auckland? Which, I'm sorry, but the whole point of Passive House is that it's relevant to any climate. So it will be a different type of construction that you do in Auckland. But Auckland buildings, there's huge problems across New Zealand with buildings that are not healthy.
Yeah, and we're having a housing crisis at the moment.
Exactly.
So it just seems even more ridiculous that, I mean, a lot of apartment buildings are going up, and that's another thing I wanted to ask you about was, you know, when you have a booming population and concerns for green architecture, how do you kind of marry the two together? I mean, I still feel like we should put green values as paramount as part of the housing plan that we have here, but how do you kind of incorporate those when you're at a sort of point like Auckland is?
Well, this is where I see it as being so relevant, because what you're doing by tackling buildings in this way is that you're basically tackling two major problems. You're tackling energy usage, so it means that the people living in these buildings are going to be able to afford to live in them in a comfortable way, but you're also creating healthy buildings. So you're not experiencing the problems that the health boards are experiencing. I know that, I think it was Canterbury Health Board has actually paid for, I think it was they, as a board, are paying for added insulation in their local region because they know it will significantly affect their health bill.
So instead of using taxpayers' money to help the people who are getting sick from living in these bad homes, we can fix the homes so that we're not having that cost. And that's a one-off payment, right? Like if we rebuild buildings as passive houses, then we don't have that ongoing health cost that just comes back year after year.
Exactly. And there's some calculations that I don't have here, but I've been told in the past that go into that, which is the ongoing cost of continually putting up poor construction, the ongoing burden on society, and it's enormous. Like, it's obviously each year it compounds, but we're putting up construction that is irrelevant to today's ability to build proper buildings, but is also just something that is not going to stand the test of time. So we're perpetuating a problem which is already here in New Zealand, which to me just seems crazy. So that was why we felt so passionate that we have to do something. And obviously we're in a place where people suffer, I guess, more because of the range in climate. But as we all know, there's problems across New Zealand. And the main problem in Auckland is that the humidity is so high. So you get a lot issues with dampness. And passive house completely responds to that. So looking at a building that is responding to all of the variations in climate.
And that was my other question. I mean, looking into the future, you know, with going up by 2 degrees or 3 degrees or 4 degrees or whatever the global temperature averages go up by, can passive houses just respond to those changes? I mean, are they just, they're just working with the environment, right? So even if the climate changes in 20 years' time with the house that's being built, or 30 years' time or 40 years' time, the house is still going to be responding to those environmental cues?
Well, that's a very good question. And that's actually, you're highlighting something that it's possibly not necessarily doing, but then no building is doing that.
Yeah.
So what it's doing is it's picking a moment in time where we've got the climate data for right now, but it does change year on year. So it's not a static program. We're not just saying we've got this climate data 10 years ago, we're going to work with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's moving. But the main thing that it does as well, which is one of the critical things we've noticed down here, is that you're not just looking at creating a warm building, you're also having to respond to overheating, which
becomes a problem.
So it cools
as well as heats?
It doesn't cool unless you put a specific way of cooling into it, but
right.
what you're doing is designing it in such a way that you are avoiding overheating. So the whole idea of, you know, the word passive is that the building is designed in such a way that it is already working for you. So,
right, so you're not switching on buttons and reading through things and whatever. It's kind of just a sort of background sort of thing because the house is designed specifically to work with the site and where it's at.
Exactly.
So it just sounds like really good architecture, really.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's so logical. I mean, it's come from Germany, so there we have, and it's been highly tested and put together in a very mathematical and physics, its basis is physics and mathematics to make sure that your building is working smarter. So it's about smart architecture as opposed to just building the way that we always have and hoping for the best.
It seems so backwards to me to be designing and building new buildings that don't have these sustainable principles or green principles embedded in them now. I mean, why would we not be doing that and planning for the future?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there, because basically the majority of the countries in Europe that signed up to the Kyoto Protocol, which we signed up to, but the countries that are actually going to stick to it, they have been moving towards passive house certification. So every, I think it's 4 years in the UK, they increase their building code so that they are moving towards having all houses be passive house certified.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that here in New Zealand. We've got a silly building code that has been the same for who knows how long and applies. Oh my gosh, wow, we have a lot of work to do.
Exactly. And the main reason they're doing that is because 40% of energy usage is buildings. So they know that the biggest way that they can knock off an enormous amount of energy usage, which again is reaching their Kyoto agreement, is by affecting buildings. So the closer that they come towards that in every step, they're basically making a significant impact on the energy usage of their country. So that's why they do it. And then everyone benefits. So it's obviously, you know, the bigger picture is obviously the environment, which is the main problem, which
But there's other societal payoffs, like having reduced health bills, having less carbon output, more efficient energy use, so you don't have to use so much energy just running a city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, everybody wins with this.
Exactly, they do.
That was The Green Desk. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.